All the glory. He's worthy, isn't he? John chapter 8. Let's pray and then I'll read our passage and we'll get right into this. Father, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. Lord, what you would want from us, what little we could give, but we give it all to you this morning in our hearts. And help us with our lives, help us with our attitudes, help us with our reputations. Help us to just give it all to you. Take these bodies, a living sacrifice. And just help us this morning, Lord, as I can try to convey this thing that has me very excited, yet apprehensive at the same time. So I just pray you'd help me to get this truth across, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12, John chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John chapter 8, verse 12. Okay, class, so here's the question. What is Jesus offering here? Is he offering heaven? Is he offering eternal life? And I don't want to be too picayune, that's a word we use, but he's offering the light of life. Not eternal life. I mean, he's the light in heaven. He's not offering heaven. He's not offering the new Jerusalem. He's offering the light of life found only in himself as one chooses to follow him. Now, there's lots of caveats today because the revelation came kind of late, and I haven't had a chance to exhaust this, but I'll give you what I got. Caveat number one, I'm not changing the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And however you got saved, if you're saved, you're saved, and that settles it. Yep. Right. Caveat number two, maybe I'm wrong on this thing. But with this crowd, I really don't have to worry because you are like those, you have the nobility of the Bereans that after you receive the word with all readiness of mind, I know that you all go home and search the scriptures whether those things are so. And I didn't have this one in my notes, but maybe the third caveat is maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree and I'm the only one that thinks this way. But either way, I want to take one grain of sand and put it on the other side of a scriptural balance of a common practice that you that want to reach souls for Jesus Christ probably incorporate in your life. So don't go making no too radical decisions. I'm not looking to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I do want you, after you hear this today, to search and to ponder and maybe make some adjustments. Because I have to be honest, this verse has never stood out to me like this. I look at our message, and specifically our gospel invitation to sinners. I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to use it. Our pitch, if you will. And versus Jesus' gospel invitation. Jesus, forgive me, pitch, if you will. The early church's invitation to the gospel. And when I look in the gospels and I look in the early church and I look in the book of Acts and I look in the epistles, I don't see a lot of it our very, very common way. When did Jesus ever ask, do you know where you're going when you die? I don't think he ever did. Not with those exact words. When did he ever ask anyone, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Not once. Now, if you were to ask us, in our evangelistic invite to sinners, in our pitch, if you will, when do we ask, do you know where you're going when you die? Are you 100% sure if you die today to go to heaven? The answer is always. I mean, that's the pitch. I mean, heaven is the goal for the sinner, isn't it? Or is it? Going to heaven when we die is the central theme of the gospel in Jesus' earthly ministry, wasn't it? Sure seems to be ours. I mean, our most popular track on the rack, the bestseller by far, there it is, heaven, even a picture of it. How good do you need to be to get there? Our second bestseller, only because I'm the one that always uses it, and I designed it. Because fat guys don't like a lot of weight on them, so this is just nice. Are you good enough to go to heaven? Take God's good test. Truth be told, 99% of our tracks could be summarized. 99, all of our evangelistic courses, from Evangelism Explosion to Child Evangelism Fellowship to Ray Comfort, and I've taken them and I've even taught them. Sinners going to heaven and not going to hell is usually the opening line and the closing line, is it not? But my biblical question this morning is, was locking up heaven Jesus Christ's top priority when engaging with sinners during his earthly ministry? And how much are we really like Jesus Christ with our evangelistic pitch? Was the focus of the early church in the book of Acts getting sinners to heaven? I ran heaven in the book of Acts. 22 times it shows up. One time, indirectly, Stephen is being stoned. He looks up and sees Jesus in heaven, and he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's as close as you ever get to where a sinner goes. Every other time, it's where he is or what he created. In the book of Acts. Now, there's two ditches on every road of error, so we need to be careful. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was not void of the afterlife, and neither was the early churches. I mean, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am. But did you ever look close at it? Let's go to John 14. Where are you going when you die? Where? Where? That's what's important. Where? John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, look at all the I's and the me's and the my Father's. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and look at this. It's the last mention of mansion. Receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's the conclusion. That's the meat of it. I'm going to receive you. Me, not where as much. Me. Where are you going? to a person. You're going to be where I am. Try that for an opener next time with your college professor. Don't you want to be with Jesus forever? My guess and my experience is that the most recommended book in the Bible for evangelistic purposes, at least in our circles, is the Gospel of John. If I were to recommend it, would either be John or Romans. For a new sinner, you know what? You need to read the Bible. You're kind of searching. And the truth is, most people that don't end up coming to Christ probably start it and never finish. So if I'm God, I'm thinking, I got one shot, if the goal is heaven, to get sinners to heaven. That is why he died. One shot to avoid, to offer heaven and avoid hell to an eternal, never dying soul that's reading this book. And he starts out in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God who came from His name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. Here's the crescendo. But to as many as received him are going to heaven in the end. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Try that in your next witness. Wouldn't you like to be a child of God? I mean, what do I get? I mean, what I get is the goal, isn't it? Or is it? What do I get? You believe on him, you become a son of God. Almost 100 verses later, a man comes to Nicodemus by night. I'm coming to Jesus by night named Nicodemus. And he said, listen, you imagine Nicodemus coming to a Baptist preacher and say, you know, I know you're a Bible teacher. Romans road, baby. You know where you're going when you die? You 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? You know what he told him? He said, you're all messed up, Nicodemus. You need to be born over again. In fact, if you're not you're all messed up. If you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. In fact, we learn later that the kingdom of God comes not with observation. It's within you. He didn't really even offer him heaven. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know what your friends need? You know what your lost kids need? You know what your co-workers need? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost right now. You know what you should try in your marriage? Jesus. He helped mine. Oh, and by the way, we haven't even talked about heaven yet. That comes later. Not at the beginning. He said, I come that you might have. He didn't say eternal life. We know you get eternal life. John 3:16. That's the 100 verses in. God so loved the world, he gave his only, who should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I come that you might have. So I'm not saying don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But that doesn't seem like it was his pitch. I come that you might have life and that and have it more abundantly. We're putting the cart before the horse. We're putting the end for the beginning. I'm going through a divorce. My baby's got cancer. My husband left me.
You know where you're going when you die?
I'm not worried about when I die. You say, that's a prosperity gospel. No, it's not. It's light for life. Pastor Folk would say, faith for now. For our own lives, now. How do I get through now? What I'm trying to get at this morning is, what are we offering them to get through now? We don't have time for the passages, but I'll summarize Acts chapter 2. Now we're in the early church, okay? They receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. They begin to speak in tongues that other people can understand in their own language. A fifth grader can understand that. It's not heavenly gibberish. Well, it's an angelic language that nobody can understand. Anytime an angel spoke in the Bible, they were understood. If there is a language of heaven, it would probably be Hebrew, because that's what Paul heard out of heaven in the Hebrew tongue saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So they start, the Italian guy speaking German and the Persian speaking, you know, these guys from Nazareth, check what I just said. These guys from Nazareth, this guy's speaking Persian, this guy's speaking Mesopotamian, this guy, they're speaking, and they say, what is this? Oh, this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Let's get that in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 21. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. He jumps to the end, watch. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means saved from hell, right? Well, that's not what he said. He said he's talking about when this thing all gets wrapped up at the end. You and understand, this is crucial. When you go through your Bible next time, look at what people were saved from. There's a Bible verse over there that says the women will be saved in childbearing. Well, that's not going to heaven. So I just threw that in to let you understand. When you read, listen, the Philippian jailer is getting ready to get his head cut off because the jail doors all just open up, and he runs in, he says, and I'm gonna paraphrase, what must I do to go to heaven when I die? Now, Acts 16, 30 and 31, that is our flagship verse. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you go to heaven when you die. And again, I could be wrong. I'm just throwing this stuff out because I want you to ponder. I'm thinking he wanted to get saved from getting his head cut off by the boss. Verse 21. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From what? That judgment, it looks like. Verse 23, here comes the gospel. Famous Bible teacher said, you couldn't find the gospel in Acts chapter 2 with a flashlight. I'm going to show you the gospel in Acts chapter 2, and I don't even need a flashlight. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified. You know what that is? Dying. Whom God hath raised up. You know what that is? Evidently, when you die, you're buried, and now you are resurrected. There's the gospel. 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Interesting. Look at verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I ran hell in the book of Acts. My favorite track when I first started, Brother Jay, was these cheap, I mean a mosquito could fly through those fellowship track leaves. They get a billion tracks out of a roll of paper. And all it said on the front was, heaven or hell, which for you? And I'd say, man, that says it all. Two times in the book of Acts,
hell. And both times, it's Jesus' soul not being left there. Isn't that something?
You don't want to go to hell, do you? Acts 2:38. They give them all this. Verse 37, then what do we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. In other words, you're going to be baptized because your sins are remitted, not to get your sins remitted, and you'll go to heaven. He says, and then you'll receive the promise of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Where's heaven? It's coming for these people. We understand that. I'm just going to, it's recorded so you can get it when you want. Acts chapter 3, you're going to see a death, burial, and resurrection. Where's heaven? Acts chapter 4, where's heaven? Acts chapter 5, where's heaven? Stephen in Acts chapter 7, he talks about forgiveness of sins. And he sees heaven. But I never heard him say, you're going to hell! Ethiopian eunuch. He preaches unto him Jesus. And the guy says, he says, what hinders me to be baptized? That's not in the New Bibles, by the way. No, that's in the New Bibles. What does hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Where's heaven? The guy puts them in the water. They never discuss heaven. You say, you saying don't discuss heaven? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you a grain of sand. On the other side of the balance, and maybe because the Lord has it this way, because they need help now. Acts 9. He sees the Lord. He goes and starts preaching. Where's heaven? So if you look at the way the Bible sells salvation, it's not the way we sell it. Because after all, the goal is not to go to hell in the end. He calls 12 apostles, Tim, and never once does he say, you know where you're going when you die? Follow me. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. 17 times in the Gospels, follow me. Listen, the Son of Man has come to seek and save them which are what? Simple question. When are they lost? They're lost now. You ever see when one of these little kids wanders or gets kidnapped or disappear? Man, they come and they have a search party. Why? They're lost. He came to seek and take people to heaven. Yes, ultimately it happened, but in this world, he's looking for the lost. They sat in the region of the shadow of death, and it was darkness. And he comes into the world. I got light for you. When? Now. That's what they need. And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's what I was offered 37 years ago. This guy's alive. I'm partying like there's no tomorrow. I'm spending like there's no tomorrow. I'm buying like there's no tomorrow. I'm laughing like there's no tomorrow. I'm tanning like there's no tomorrow. And I'm dead. You imagine a cool guy like me? He was cool before he got saved. Way cool. That depends on your nationality. He drove a GTO. I drove a Lincoln Continental. So that's his cool and my cool.
I mean, I got it all, man. I got a pool in the backyard. I got a boat on the water. I got a trailer full time at the camp.
And he says, hey, you want to come over for dinner? He goes, watch what happens when I come home.
Yeah. And he walked in that door. And those kids came running. Daddy's home. And all that tan, and all that Lincoln, and all that fun, and all that games was like vomit. This is life.
He came to seek and save that which was lost, not, yes, from hell later, but that wasn't his pitch. It was lost now. You follow me, you won't walk in darkness anymore. You'll have the light of life. He talked to me about getting yoked up with God. And he probably did, but I do not remember him talking about going to heaven and hell at the end, which explains my wrong salvation prayer. If that's what it takes, this is what I'll do. That sounds like a works prayer to me. I could tell you right where I was in that 74 Chevy pickup driving down Lake Avenue by Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. I was born again. 1 John 5:20, 2 Corinthians 5. You know where you're going when you die? First John 5:20. And we know you got eternal life. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. Man, I'm going through a divorce. My kids are messed up. My father's died. You know you can know God. Know him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. And what? Eternal life it is? I thought eternal life was going to heaven. He just said eternal life is knowing God.
That's good, preacher.
2 Cor 5. Verse 19. This is the message. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When I look at the Bible, saved wasn't mostly saved from a place called hell later. It was about saved from my sin now. And that part of that saved from my sin now gives me access to that person that I will be with someday. You can be reconciled now. You can be complete now. You can have purpose now. You can have abundant life now. We have it backwards. We start with the place. Oh, and if you want it, you got to pray the sinner's prayer. You know where you go when you die? Because if you don't, this person I'm going to tell you about keep you from going to that other place. Nobody wants to go there. And we could secure where you're going to go right here and now. Just pray the prayer on the back of this little card here, and we'll lock it up. Okay. VBS, 700 got saved. How does 700 kids at a VBS, I exaggerate, how does 70 kids at a VBS get saved? Because kids are smart enough not to want to go to hell. I know you got a visitor, so I won't put her on the spot. Man, we got no little ones in here. Levi, you don't want to go to hell, do you? You better raise your hand and get saved. 70 saved. And we got a bunch of people running around that maybe have their eternal destination secure, and maybe they don't. But there's a whole bunch of them that don't know God. That we may know Him. Do you want to know God, Professor? We've made the place the God, the goal, instead of repenting to a person and reconciling them to the God that they've offended, and He's the only way to get there. And we didn't even mention heaven yet. So they got a guarantee of a place later without the love for a person now, because it wasn't about the person now. It was about heaven then. You know what the coworker and the professor and the child and the parent and the world need? Yeah, at the end, they're going to need heaven later. They need the light of life now. They need completeness. Ye are complete. Ma'am, you have a lot of brains, more than I could ever dream of, but you're only one third. You're incomplete. That's why you've got these issues. And if you get complete in Him, you may still have these issues, but oh, you'll be able to understand and go through and live and deal with these issues without medicating yourself half to death. They can't wait for heaven. They need help now. Their divorce is now. Their sick family is now. Their emptiness is now. Their mental health issues is now. Their relationship issues is now. Their incomplete is now. We got to start pitching a person before we pitch a place. And you better have a hold of that person, and you better have abundant life, and you better have something worth living for, and you better have some answers, or they're not going to want it.
That's right. That's
good preacher. No, don't look at me. Just wait, you're the light of the world, not of heaven.
Right.
Different pitch, maybe better long-term results. I'm not sure about the short-term results. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Ask your coworker if they want to know God. Two mission scenarios. Missionary comes with his presentation. We've been called to Calcutta. 15 million people. The majority Hindus. They're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ if we don't get there. And our hearts are broken about that. What if our hearts were broken over the fact that 15 million majority Hindus don't know God now? Let's say, I don't know,
30,000, 15 million in a city. I don't know how many people die a day in New York City. Let's say 1,000 Hindus a day die in Calcutta that are not saved and go to hell. Well, that leaves 14 million left that need God now. Need light now. Need answers now. Need hope now. Need Christ now. Groping in darkness. So here's my appeal to myself first. To get a vision for the lost that are lost now. You see that woman at the well? If you had a woman at the well like that, wouldn't you ask her if she knew she was going to die? Wouldn't you let? She believed. Where's heaven? The woman taken in adultery. Go and sin no more. Aren't you missing something? I'm not saying to don't, we call it draw the net. Draw the net, get them to pray. And I'm for that. I mean, you kind of leave people out there hanging. It's like you're a John Deere tractor salesman, because they're not dishonest. And you know, it comes to the thing, okay, hope you like it. Well, do you want to sign? You should always ask. I mean, would you like to pray and ask Christ to save you right now? But I'm wondering if we start getting a vision for the lost and tweak our message just a little bit in this crazy world. You know what you need, young man? You need God. And some of you guys with the hoary heads, these kids are aimless. We look at this stinking rebellious generation. You got that gray hair, man. You get away with a little bit more. The men, that is. And you can, and ladies too. I talked to Nancy Motley. I ask everybody I see, now, where are you from? And did you go to college? And do you have any religious affiliation? This woman is a soul-winning machine. And do you have any religious affiliation? You know, it's like, whatever you say. You know what you need, friend? Yeah, you need to worry about the final judgment. But that could be 50 years away. You need God now. You're incomplete. And you can access God, but you got to come through Jesus Christ, because your sin has offended him, and that's why he died for you. And you know what he'll do? He will come in and take up residence and give you righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we ain't even talked about heaven later. In fact, he's going to give you part of that now. You're smart. You're technical. You're an engineer, but you know what? This life is merciless, and those brains are not going to help you when the chips are down. Don't you want to be complete? You got to come through Jesus Christ. Can't wait for the rapture. Just want to get out of here, right? You know, he's going to catch us up, and where, theologians, is he going to catch us up? Do we go right straight to heaven, or do we meet the Lord in the... And after that, so shall we... We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and then we're going to go to heaven! He doesn't even say where we're going to go. He says, so shall we... To be absent from this body, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, y'all, scripture machines, that's what I like. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let's stand. Just give us wisdom. Just give us wisdom, Lord, that's what we need. I don't